Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. My dad was a humble and devoted pastor who desired to minister to the lonely and elderly and nurture the saved in their daily walk through our broadcasts. We are delighted to be with you today. We often hear of sorrow and struggles from our viewers and are grateful we can share the gospel that transcends the deepest pain in the most challenging of times. From Minnesota, a viewer writes, "This gift is in memory of my husband. CWH was his church for many years while he had mobility problems. For the last 2.5 years, one of our sons, his children, and myself were able to worship with him. He passed away last month. He looked forward to Pastor Salem. Thank you very much for being his church so he could worship our wonderful Savior." Today's message, "The Soul's Quest for God," speaks of the desire and longing in our heart to know Jesus better. We hope you will be uplifted by today's service. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are, gathering all around the world at the throne of grace, worshiping the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ and our wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful for each one of you and that they opened the door for us and so we can gather together. And we're looking at Psalm chapter 8 today, the opening verses, where the psalmist writes, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And dear Heavenly Father, we just do marvel that you are so great that you put the stars in place. And not only did you put them there, but you named them a separate name for every star. Numbers like the sand of the sea, we can't comprehend it. And yet, for all of that, you're mindful of each one of us, and we are important in your sight, and you see us alone, and we can worship you. And you told us you'd never leave us or forsake us. So in this service, Lord, may our hearts turn to you. And if there's some that don't know you, never accepted you as Savior, pray that this will be the day that during this very hour, they'll ask you to come into their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And Barb's going to sing for us a number I know you'll like, "Precious Memories," and God bless you, Barb.
Precious Memories, unseen angels sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfold. Memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious Mother, loving Father, fly across the lonely years.
And old home scenes of my childhood in fond memory appear. Precious memories. soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes
Barb, God bless you, and precious memories, don't we all have them? Here I am, 96 years old. For 86 years I've had the Lord in my life. I got a ton of memories, and the older you get, the more wonderful those memories are, and they'll be with us till we enter the golden city, the gates of the pearly gates into the golden city, and then we'll have the memories will come to life, and oh, won't that be great. Well, we just want to thank all of you for writing to us. We read all of the letters, and we answer. If it's a spiritual question, we answer it the best of our ability and answer it with Scripture. And so we'll give you the address in just a few minutes. But I want to share some of these letters. And the first letter we get is from Natoma, Kansas. And this is a little girl, 10 years old. And she writes and says, hi, how are you? I am good. Thank you for doing the Christian Worship Hour. It saves a lot of souls. I accepted the Lord when I was 3 years old. Me and my family try to watch your service every Sunday. I'm sending a picture that I drew. I'm sending $5 of my birthday money. I just turned 10. You're a blessing, giving blessings. Keep up the good work. And so here she is, 3 years old, accepted the Lord. I have a daughter, Patty. She's a grandmother now, but she accepted Jesus when she was 5. And these children can accept the Lord. I was 10 when I accepted the Lord. And it's just as meaningful as if it was last night, when I went forward and prayed to accept Jesus and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And so we're always so happy when the children write. And I'm going to tell you something about my preaching. I preach so that the children can understand. And I figure if the children can understand, then everybody can understand. And so here's this little girl. God bless her, and living in Kansas. Here's Little Rock, Arkansas. We watched and listened to you on your Christian Worship Hour every time we visit your country. Your TV program is a great source of encouragement and inspiration. My wife and I are pastoring a local church in Manila, Philippines. Please keep us in your prayers as we keep you in our prayers. And so here's a pastor. I'm always so happy to hear from the pastors. And by the way, I have a 52-minute seminar. It's on a CD or DVD, And it talks to, it's just for pastors of small churches, little churches. And it's free in post-paging. Send a gift or whatever you can. And we take it on a free will offering basis. And you get your pencil and paper, and I'll give you the address in a minute. It's a seminar to pastors of small churches. Here's Cherokee, Iowa. I just thank you for the work you all do so that people like me can have a better understanding of the Word of God. I was saved at a young age and fell away for many years until I found your service on TV one Sunday. So I believe God our Father led you to me, and I thank God for it. Your sister in God. And there's no question about it, but the God brought us together. And here's a lady that's drifted away from the Lord. You know, it's easy to drift. Peter drifted something terribly. But you can always come back. The Lord will always take you back. Like with the prodigal son, he'll take you in his arms and welcome you back if you just come and confess your sins and ask for forgiveness. And in 1 John 1:9, we're told, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the glory of the gospel. There's hope for everybody. No one is beyond hope until they die. Then everything is settled. Nothing changes after that. You're in heaven or you're in hell. You're with the devil or you're with the Lord. And you make the choice. You decide. Nobody can decide for you. Well, let's see. Here's Sheboygan, Michigan. I'd like to say thank you to you and all the people that it takes to put on your service. I listen and enjoy each Sunday. I no longer get around as much as I once did. I also like the letters you read. They make me feel like I'm connected to a very large family from all over the world and who love the Lord. God bless you all. And that is exactly right. It's the family of God. If you've accepted Jesus, you're a part of his family. And when we read these letters, and we read them from other parts of the world too, we get a letter every so often from somebody. And here we have people from the Philippines are in the States for the time being, for a little short time, but we can minister to them. So it's the family of God all over the world. Here's Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Can you recommend a good study for an old lady, but with large print? I enjoy your service every week. Please send me the new song and anything you have on depression. I lost my husband of 34 years, and he was the only friend. He was my only friend, so I feel all alone and depressed. Thank you, an older lady. And so, yes, we've sent some of us a little booklet, a large print booklet, and we sent the new song. And the new song is a little Bible study we put out every month. And this month, is the Bible study is on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you will send it free and postpaid, so get your pencil out. I'll give it to you in just a minute here. Here's one from Etne, Norway. Dear Brother Harold, I thought you might enjoy some suckers for your birthday. I imported them for years and gave them to my school children on special occasions. Maybe you can keep a bouquet on your desk for staff and visitors. Please remind them not to run or sing with suckers in their mouths. You may also find them useful in keeping your technicians alert during your broadcasts. Lord knows we need that. I put that in. Lord knows we need that. But he's got it in here. It'll keep the technicians alive, awake if you give them a sucker. And if they don't go to sleep and choke on it. But I'm adding that. He says, it is probably best to keep this in our little secret. Thank you for your tireless work for the Lord. May he bless you and keep you in his care, in his love. And this is a gentleman named Sten from Norway. And we've written back and forth. We've connected with each other by email for several years now. He's a dear brother. And he sent a great big bag of suckers. And boy, are they rejoicing around the staff. They're all just taking them away fast as you can imagine. Let's see. Lincoln, Nebraska says this. I got your letter you sent and the booklet. I like it. I ask Jesus into my heart. I would like a Bible if you can, and a bookmark. I enjoy watching the Christian Worship Hour. I get happy when it comes in. God bless you guys. And so that's what Jesus does. He brings joy and he brings peace. And I know this gentleman in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we've sent him literature, and we sent him a little packet by Billy Graham that Billy Graham gives at crusades when people come to Jesus, and it'll get you started in the Christian life. So if you just accepted Jesus, you're right. And it's free and postpaid. If you can send a gift, that's fine. If you can't, somebody else will send a gift and help us. One more letter that we want to read, and that's Duluth, Minnesota. And see, this person writes, and I can't remember, I can't remember if it's a man or a woman here. I think it's a gentleman. Anyway, she says, I have backslidden and want to have a new start, have been suicidal. What happens if you do commit suicide? Do you go to heaven? And I just want to stop right there because we have a little booklet on suicide. And if you're a Christian and you commit suicide, you will go to heaven, but you should not commit suicide because God gave you your life and you don't have any business to take it. But if you do and you're just out of your mind and you do it, you belong to the Lord. When you're in the family of God, you're always in the family of God. And we have a booklet on that. Can you lose your salvation? You just write to us. Get your pencil. I'll give you the address in just a minute. So this person says, what happens if you commit suicide? Do you go to heaven? Family has rejected me. I'm so lonely. I have a dog, but she has been sick. Think that she may be dying. That's why I've been thinking about dying with her. I have no one on earth. I'm homebound. Thank you for reading. This is a lady. I remember the story now. And so now what we have to do all over the world is pray for this dear one, Duluth, Minnesota. And she feels she's in despair. And what we have to tell her, and I've written to her already, sent literature, and just remember that Jesus says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And he is with us, and you may not feel it, and you may not realize it, but he is here. If you belong to him, if you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sin, you become his child, and he will never leave us or forsake us, and he always keeps his word. And so if you'd like to write to us, here's our name and address. It's a Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to get us on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And we'd like to have you write if you have accepted the Lord or if you need literature. You can do that. And you can also send a gift if you can. And you need to pray and say, now, oh, dear Lord, should I support this? Is this a ministry that you want me to support? And God lays it on your heart, and then you can say, yes, God will say, he'll tell you whether he wants you to do it or not. And if he says to do it, then you write to us. And all of you on the internet, on the short wave, I'm going to give it again, Christian Worship Hour. And it's a box 2002 in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And I hope that you'll write to us, and I hope you'll support us because we have to have your help if we're going to carry on. And also, you can write for the new song. And when you write for the new song, we'd be glad to send that along for you. And then you can help that, and you can take that and have that little study on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, what if we send money and they don't use it wisely? What if they don't use it for the Lord? And so you can just remember that if you could just open your heart to the Lord and you send a gift, then we're a member of what they call the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And we have, it's an international organization, and they check every penny we get, and we receipt every penny, and they check on how we spend it. And so you can rest assured that if you send, whatever you send, it'll all go to the preaching of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel. So we need to have you write. Now, one more time for all of you people in the shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. So now I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you give as God lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to your people. Thank you for almost 40 years now through your people. They've supported this work. And so we just thank you, and because we know it's from your hand and it's all for your glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Philippians chapter 3. And while you're looking that up, remember every time when we pray for the persecuted church in one of the countries in the world. And today we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for North Korea. And there's an organization called Open Doors World Watch. Open Doors World Watch, and they list the 50 hardest places in the world to be a Christian, where the persecution is the worst. And number one on the list is North Korea. And so we're going to pray for them. But first I want to read, beginning with chapter 3 and the 7th verse. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency for the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you today that you have made it possible for us to know you personally through receiving you as our Savior. And then you've instructed us now, Lord, that we should be following you. And when we accept you, we promise that we're going to follow you the best we can. And none of us are going to be perfect. We're going to stumble and we're going to fall, just like little babies starting out walking. But you freely forgive us when you ask for forgiveness. And we fall 1,000 times, you'll pick us up 1,000 times. And so we thank you for that grace, because you said where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that you're able to save us unto the uttermost that come unto Christ by God, unto God by Christ. And so we just want to pray today that you'll help us all to be followers. And then, Lord, we do pray for the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters in North Korea. It's the worst place on the face of the earth. The persecution is the hardest, according to Open Doors. It's the hardest place to live. The most persecution is the worst. And so our hearts go out to them and help them to know, because we're in that city, we're in that whole North Korea with a strong signal on shortwave radio, and help them to know that we love them, we pray for them, and with their life, and they encourage us to stand up for Jesus, and that we all are standing behind them. And someday we're going to be together in heaven, and all the troubles and trials of life will be over. So bless them, bless us all. Be with those on beds of sickness. Help all of those who are still in their sins, that they'll come to Jesus. And because this is your service, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now Melissa's going to sing a song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell of the story of Jesus, write on his heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they lay him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Lord, may I always remember, love paid the ransom for me. Oh, tell of the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And I tell you, that wonderful story of Jesus never grows old. I've been preaching it 73 years, and every time I preach that wonderful gospel, it's just as fresh and beautiful as it was the first sermon I ever preached. The Word of God is a living Word of God, and that's why it's applicable for any age or any people. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to our hearts. And maybe you're way off from the Lord and God's talking to you to come to him. And during this service, you'll make that prayer to accept Jesus. or maybe you're lonely, or maybe you're a young person, you don't know which way to turn. I talked to a young lady not long ago, just graduated from high school, and she's not sure what to do with her life. And so we pray for these young people, because God has a plan for every one of his children, and we just need to open our heart and just take a day at a time walk with Jesus. Well, we're looking at a wonderful thought today, and that is the soul's quest for God. That simply means it's our desire to know Jesus better. That's what it means. Paul talked about that, and it's the longing of his heart and the longing of our heart to know Jesus better. And Paul writes about that in Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, that I might know him, that is Jesus, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul is telling us that deep down in his heart, he has a love for the Lord Jesus, and deep in his heart, he's yearning to know the Lord Jesus more. He wants the Lord to fill his mind and his soul from morning to evening. He's searching for the Savior. He's wanting to know more about Jesus. He wants to be like Jesus, and he never will be content. And we're the same way. When we get to know Jesus, we want to know more about him, and we want to have him more real as we trust his word and search for him. And so this wonderful Lord, Paul talks about it. And he says, first of all, there should be a desire. There should be a longing in our heart for the personal Christ. Paul says, that I might know him, Jesus. And so he wants to know more than just about Jesus. He wants to know more just about the doctrines of Jesus. He wants to more than what he just hears about Jesus. He wants to know more than that people can tell him, because he personally wants to know him. He wants to know him himself. He doesn't want any of this secondhand business. And that's what happens when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask him to come into our heart, and maybe you have never done that. You could do that right now while I'm talking about it. You can just say, Dear Jesus, I know I've sinned against you. I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. You can do that. And the moment you do that, you're born again. He that hath the Son hath life, and you have him when you put your faith in him. So that way, Jesus is with us. And now we want to know more about him. We want to read about him, and we want to know for ourselves. We want to know about the love of Jesus Christ. We want to know for ourselves about what it is to know that he is in our hearts. And you may not feel anything. I know when I accepted Jesus, I didn't feel anything. It was just that I accepted Jesus. It was a contract. He says, if you ask me into my heart, into your heart, I'll come in and cleanse away your sins. And that's what he did. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. That's all there is to it. And you may have joy and everything, but later on, I had a peace, and I know now that I know Jesus is with me. And I'm so thankful for that, and I just rejoice as I walk with him and talk with him. And so we have to go by faith, and that has to be our goal. That has to be our quest, to know Jesus. And so many people get caught up in other things. Other religions are content with elaborate and ornate rites, or a complicated priesthood, or an intricate system of doctrine and regulations, or endless ceremonies and endless liturgies, and the legalistic working and all kinds of regulations. We don't want all of that. We just want Jesus. And with that, we don't want all that luggage and baggage around. We just want Jesus. And so we want to be near Jesus. We want so that Jesus can just look upon us, and there's nothing between, and we're as open to the Lord as we can possibly be. We want to know him as a friend. We want to know him personally. We want to know him intimately. We want to know him experimentally. And so I'm not talking about George Washington that I read about. I'm talking about Jesus Christ who lives in my heart, and I know him because he is within my heart and soul. Jesus tells us in John chapter 5 and verse 24, "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." That minute that you believe in him and trust in him and ask him into your heart, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you'll never go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. That's heaven. You have eternal life. Oh, it's just so wonderful. And so he lives today, and he lives in our hearts, and we need to trust him and rest upon him. And then he will be with us, and he'll walk with us day by day. He goes before us. He's with us when we're lying down. He's with us when we're getting up. He is nigh unto us in every way. And we make this journey. And as we make this journey, we're on the mountaintop and we're happy. But then there are those valleys. And ever to have a mountain, you have to have a valley. And so sometimes we're on the mountaintop rejoicing and happy. And sometimes we're down in the valley. Maybe there's some struggles. Maybe it's the valley of sickness. Maybe it's the valley of adversity. Maybe it's the valley of poverty. Maybe it's the valley of loneliness. We just talked about this dear soul that's so lonely. Maybe it's the valley of bereavement. Maybe it's the valley of a broken fellowship or friendship, the valley of divorce, the valley of old age, the valley of death. We need Jesus. And he is with us in the mountaintop, and he's with us in the valley. And he says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you," that wonderful Jesus. And 86 years I've been with Jesus, and I failed him 1,000 times over, and I failed him time and again, but he's never failed me, and he's never left me. He's always been with me, and I've grieved him when I sinned, but every time I came to him and asked him to forgive me, he forgave me, and he says, "Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're all gone." And I know that blessed Jesus. Yes, we need Jesus. We need his blessed face. We need his closeness. We need his love. We need the sweetness of his indwelling. We need his tenderness. We need his right hand. We need his guidance. We need this dear Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what Paul is talking about. We need to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And then Paul goes on and he says that we should be, the soul's quest should be also not to just have Jesus, but to have the power of the resurrection in us. And so he tells us that he may know Christ and the power of the resurrection. And so when we come to know the Lord Jesus, we have that wonderful power that indwells us. And that wonderful Jesus said, he put it like this. He said, he says, "I am the first and the last and the living one." And so he says, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I was on a cross. I died for your sins. I went to pay for those sins, and I paid for them. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and I am with you, and I will always be with you, and I will be with you forever, and I'll put my spirit within you. And St. Paul tells us that God tells us that he'll give us the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus, and that Holy Spirit will be with us forever. Forever. And that simply means that when we accept Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. You say, "Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know it either when I was 10 years old. I didn't know I was adopted into the family of God. I didn't know I was joint heirs with Christ. I didn't know anything except that I was a sinner and I asked Jesus to save me." And so you say, "Well, I didn't know I had the Holy Spirit." You sure do. If you accept Jesus, you're born again, you're baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he dwells in you forever. That means that the moment you accept Jesus Christ, he is with us until we enter the pearly gates of heaven. And that's the one we have. And it's then we have that power, that resurrection. And so then that power of the resurrection, because he's within us and dwells within us, that means that we breathe, we have a new atmosphere. We have a new world. We live in a new world. We breathe a different breath. We just have a different goals. Everything has changed and we become a new creation. And we walk with the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And that resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is power. That's where we get the power. And as we yield to the Lord Jesus and lean upon Him and rest in Him, He gives us that strength and that power to live for Him. And He tells us, He'll never give us a temptation that's too great for us, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. He will help us in our temptations. But sometimes we don't draw on that power and we fail and we sin. And when we sin, we go to Jesus. And we tell Him, just like that prodigal son, way off in the pigsty, spent all of his money on riotous living. And there he was eating the husks that the old pigs wouldn't eat with all their slobbers on it. And that's what he had for breakfast and noon and night. That's what he lived on, the husks that the old pigs wouldn't eat. And when he came back to the Father, the Heavenly Father, his Father was looking for him down the road. And he saw that son and he ran to meet him and he put his arms around him. And the boy says, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you and I ask you to forgive me. That's what we do. And when we drift away, and maybe some of you today, once you walked with the Lord and you served with the Lord and you were happy with the Lord, and then something happened and they hurt your feelings. Or maybe you were wronged. Sometimes Christians do things that aren't right. They're human beings. Something happened. Or maybe you just got into some habit. You drifted away and you don't go to church anymore. And you don't pray anymore. And you don't read your Bible anymore. And you're way off in that wilderness place there. And then the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now and telling you that the Father loves you and you need to come back. And when you come back, then you know Jesus, and He gives you the power of the resurrection. All power is given unto me, Jesus said, and I'll share that power with you and I'll help you. And when we fail, and we are going to fail, as long as we're in this world, we're going to make our missteps, we're going to have our sins. And when those sins, just go to Jesus and say, Dear Jesus, forgive me. I've done it 1,000 times or more, I'm sure. In those 73 years of walking with the Lord, 86 years really, I've been in the ministry 73 years. And being in the ministry, I still might have my sins and those things that I think and the things that I do that I know I shouldn't do. Maybe getting proud or maybe getting jealous or maybe getting envious or God knows what. The devil's just got so many tricks for us. And so you just go to Jesus and you tell Him He'll forgive you. He'll wash you clean. And you have that fellowship. And if you've drifted away, you come and just talk to Jesus. And He says that His grace is sufficient. He says your sins, grace is greater than all of our sins. And I guess sometimes people say, I just got a letter. As a matter of fact, just this last week. And a man in Montana wrote, and he says, I have sinned so bad, I know God will never forgive me. I'm not worthy. And I'm going to tell you, none of us are worthy. But when we come to Jesus, St. Paul says, I was the chief of sinners and He forgave me. So if He forgives the chief, He'll forgive all of us. And then the final thing, the third thing, it says that I should know Christ, that I should know Him, that I should know the power of His resurrection. And then he says that I should know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Now he knows the Lord and he walks with the Lord and he loves Jesus and he's willing to suffer for Him. And that's where the persecuted church is. They know Jesus and they're sold out to Jesus. And Paul says, he says that I might just have the fellowship of His sufferings. Jesus suffered for me. Now let me suffer for Him. I want to suffer is what he's saying. But look at how he puts it. He starts out by saying that I may know Him. That's the start. That I might know the risen Christ. That I might know Him. And then the next step is that I might have the power of the resurrected Christ. And then, after you know Jesus, and after you have that power of the resurrected Christ, then you say, I'm looking forward to the fellowship of His sufferings. I'm willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when you do that, God will give you blessings and He'll give you help. And when you have that point where you've really come to the Lord and you're willing to suffer for Him, you're not going to be complaining of your lot in life. And you're not going to be fussing about different things. And when the poor old preacher preaches, and he preaches, we should give our tithe to the Lord, 10% to the Lord. And oh, wow, do they ever grab. They grab their purse, they grab one hand, they grab their heart with the other hand, and they hang on. Now, if you're to that point where you have that resurrected Christ, when I preach about it, you should give 10%, instead of you getting squirmy and upset and turning the TV off, instead of that, you'll say, yes, that's right on, Pastor. Preach it and teach it. That's what God says. You see, you're to that level where you're willing to suffer. You're sold out to Christ. And you're not picking and finding fault with every little thing. I'm going to tell you something. I've been preaching for 73 years. And sometimes people say, oh my, 73 years. I sure would think you could be able to preach better than that after 73 years. I said, you just should have heard me when I started. I made a lot of headway, brother. And when I started out, they walked out that door. They couldn't get out fast enough. Well, I'm going to tell you, in those 73 years, I've never found a sold-out Christian, one that had that power of the resurrection and was sold out to Christ. I've never had him complain about talking about money, ever. I've never had him say, I don't want to give any more time to the church. I don't want to give any more time to the Lord. I've never heard them say that. I've heard them have them say when they come to die, I wish I would have done more for Jesus. I wished I would have given more to Jesus. I've heard that. But when we're sold out to Christ, we're not going to be offended at that. And then we think of the persecuted church, God bless them. They're not worrying about 10%. They're giving 100%. They're giving their lives. That's our family. That's part of our family. They belong to us and we belong to them, and we need to take a lesson from them and say, I'm willing to suffer for Christ's sake. I'm willing to go as far as God wants me. And remember this, when you do that, every step with the risen Christ, we'll be suffering for the Lord. We'll be doing it without any complaining or rejection. Every time we have something we have to do, or God calls upon us to do something, we happily do and give it to him. And so he says, it talks about it, Paul talks about it, and he says how that when we walk with the Lord and we have this wonderful will of the Lord, we will have that wonderful grace and we'll have that strength. And so Paul says, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ in Philippians chapter 1. Unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me, the fellowship of his sufferings. Always remember this, my dear friends. Always remember this. It's not a penalty to suffer for Jesus Christ. It is a privilege. It is a great joy. And they're going to have the martyr's crown. Always look at it this way. Suffering for Jesus is not something awful cast upon me. Suffering for Jesus is a high privilege. To suffer for him and to live for him, to stand for him. So don't be running around like a Pharisee on a fast day. Don't be running around like as if you'd been baptized in dill pickle juice or something like that. Some people, these Christians, their faces so long, there's one old pastor says, their faces so long they could eat flax out of the end of a gun barrel. It's long, sourdough flax. No, what you have to do is remember this. Remember this, that all these experiences of suffering for Christ are for Christ, and they will always bring blessings in this life and in the life to come. And that may hurt for the time, but God will only bring good out of it. A skilled physician one time was about to perform a delicate operation on the ear, and he said reassuredly, I may hurt you, but I will not injure you. And how often the great physician leans over to us and says, it may hurt you, dear child, but it'll not injure you. Oh, if we would just listen to Christ, listen to the word, and then know that we can just trust and lean on him. And always remember this, that God has assured us in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. The things that are bitter, the things that are hard, the things we can't understand. I'm going to tell you, friends, there are things in life I don't understand. I don't know why they happen the way they do. And I don't try to explain why God did it. I just say God did it and it's all for a purpose. And let God be God and trust Him and never doubt. I remember when we lost our farm, my mother and I prayed for that farm. We wouldn't lose that farm. And we read where it says, there are two of you are praying, I'll do it. And we two prayed and we lost our farm. And some people get bitter and bad and hard. And my mother said, I don't know why, Harold, but God didn't answer our prayers. But there's a reason. All things work together for good. They may be hard things, bitter things, things you can't understand and explain, but they are from God. And all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose, and God's going to bring the good out of it. Just remember this. When we get to heaven, we'll see that it was all beautiful, all right. Everything that God is doing isn't something that's going to be for this weekend or next month. What He's doing is He's working a pattern that goes for eternity. For last forever, the thing's eternal. And so don't fuss and don't fume, but say, I want to suffer for Jesus. I want to work for Him. We're on the downside. It's just like a beautiful, beautiful carpet. And some of those expensive carpets, it's so beautiful, didn't want to even walk on it. But if you look on the underside, it's all a mess. There's threads going every which way and colors every which way and everything clashes and there's no pattern and it doesn't make sense. Well, we're on the downside, underside. And when we get to heaven, we'll see the top side and we'll see a beautiful pattern. We'll see the face of Christ. We'll see the purpose of God. So Paul says, you want to be sure you get to know Jesus. And then when you know Jesus, then you experience and you grow in the Lord and you get that power of the resurrection. And then when you get the resurrection of Christ, His power and His almighty power and the power of the Holy Spirit, then you say, dear Jesus, I'll go where you want me to go and I'll do what you want me to do. It may be going like the three Hebrew children going through the furnace. It may be like Daniel in the lion's den. But it's God is at hand and there's a purpose and a reason. It may be like poor Job with all of his sufferings. He couldn't understand it. He couldn't figure it out. But all of a sudden, when we get to eternity, we say, oh, what God didn't do through Job. And Job says, I know. Then his wife says, why curse God and die? Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And in another place toward the end of the book, Job says, I know I'm in the furnace and He's trying me. And when I come out, I'm going to be like pure gold. And that's going to be it. And so this is what you have to do. You have to have Jesus. That's a first step. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, you do it right now. You can do it wherever you are, whoever you are, all over the world. Maybe you're in the desert, maybe you're in the jungles. I don't know where you're at, but the Holy Spirit knows where you're at. And He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I'll come into his heart. I'll come into his life. But you have to ask Him in. He is not an intruder. Jesus is not a trespasser. He knocks. And you have to open that door. And you say, I don't know how to open that door. And I'll tell you how you do it. You say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. And God knows it. He wants you to confess it. I'm a sinner. Don't say you made mistakes or you made bad choices. Tell Him you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. And then you tell somebody, and then thank Him, then tell somebody. Now, if you make that prayer, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And you write, and we'll send you some literature. Anywhere in the world, we'll send you literature. And if you can't get to us right away, start reading the Gospel of John. And pray and talk to Jesus and get into a church and get Christian friends. And then be sure to write to us if you want the book on to help pastors and encourage pastors. If you want the book on suicide or about can't lose your salvation, you write to us, a Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I want to tell you this, friends. If you can send a gift, send it. If you don't have any money like people in prison, you write to us. We'll send it just the same. Somebody else will pay the way. And we're just praying. And I'm also, I have to tell you this. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so you know we're on the level. We know that every account, every bit of that money is a checked and balanced, and an organization puts the okay. And we're in good standing of the ECFA. So now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this wonderful time we've had together. And I just thank you for all of those that have just prayed to take you into their heart. And maybe, Lord, some who have drifted away and they've come back and they want to restore their fellowship. And so they're making that prayer. I'm praying for the children, Lord, the little children, maybe watching this service and they say, I want Jesus. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. They can do that. I pray for those young people making decisions in life. I pray for the shut-ins. I pray for those that are lonely, those who lost loved ones. Wherever there's a need, there's a Savior that'll help them. And so, dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're all praying for you. We want you to know that God loves you no matter what your sin is. He loves you. He wants to forgive you for your sins, but he can't take you to heaven if you die in those sins. You have to go to have the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all our sins. You make that prayer, and then you walk with the Lord, and then we'll see you in heaven, and we'll all be together. But God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you, and we pray that you'll pray for us as we pray for you. And then next week, we'll all get together, and we'll worship the Lord all over the world. And someday, we'll worship the Lord in heaven. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.